Colleen Chow remembers facing a particularly difficult season of life.
This is when Jeremy was around 2 and 3 years old, and we just were overwhelmed with his health issues at the same time that we were navigating mine. And as a mom, I wanted answers so badly, and I wanted to help my son. He was so sick and so miserable. And I went to just this wise woman. She told me, go home and take an orange, observe it, and look at the dimples on it. Why are there dimples in this orange? And smell it and cut it open slowly. Look at the insides. Look at those sections that God's created in this beautiful fruit. And then smell it and taste it and savor and marvel. Let's look at God's creation and look at how good he is. To thank God, to look for God, to stay curious. Like, what is he doing? Because look at what he's made. He's not making mistakes. He's not messing this up. His design is perfect. I would ask God, enlarge my heart for you. Give me bigger thoughts of you and smaller thoughts of my circumstances. You could call it wonder or awe or worship. God, you're so big. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. And so I want bigger thoughts of you. I want to wonder at you and worship you for being bigger than I am and doing something good, even if right now it feels terrible. Then I could quiet enough to open my Bible and hear from him. And it was taking the tangible so that I could quiet and enjoy and absorb his words, his presence. So those things started a pattern that I had no idea things would get more and more difficult. I was looking for relief. Like, we've put in our time. This has been hard for a long time. A break is coming. And it just kept getting harder and more difficult news.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, co-author of You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. Today is Monday, September 29th, a day full of marvels. If you adjust your eyes to see them, I'm Dana Gresh.
Is there something strangling your joy today? It's possible that you're facing unusual pain and difficulty, but I think we're all tempted to focus on our circumstances and miss out on the wonders of creation and the wonder of God's truth. Colleen Chow purposefully cultivates a sense of wonder every day. About 4 years ago, Colleen received a diagnosis of stage 4 terminal cancer. At that point, she became acutely aware that her days were numbered. She began praying for more time to spend with her husband, Eddie, and their son, Jeremy. And she wanted her story to be a gift to others. Well, it has been a gift for sure. Colleen wrote a book called In the Hands of a Fiercely Tender God. If you know someone who's suffering in any way, I hope you'll get this book into their hands. Colleen is honest about suffering, but she also offers hope and comfort. And now Colleen's written a brand new book all about longing for eternity. It's called On Our Way Home, Reflections on Heaven in the Face of Death. Both of these books unfold in a series of short chapters. They're easy to read, but chock full of biblical truth. On today's program, Colleen offers us a series of these short segments.
Colleen prays for more time here on earth for the sake of her husband, Eddie, and her son, Jeremy. She remembers telling Jeremy about her cancer diagnosis.
So that with that first diagnosis, I came home that day to my 6-year-old son. I said, we got hard news today. It's cancer, but God is going to use this for our good, for your good. He was absorbing it like a little 6-year-old does, just processing, and got teary-eyed.
I remember asking to read the passage in Daniel.
It seemed out of the blue, but he said, can we read the story of the fiery furnace?
I think it was one of my favorite stories as a younger kid.
So Eddie grabbed the Bible. We're all sitting in our bedroom, and Eddie reads the story.
Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He gave orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than was customary. And he commanded some of the best soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of blazing fire.
It doesn't matter how many times you've heard that story. It's an amazing story. And just kind of reliving it in that moment of this terrible diagnosis.
Then King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in alarm. He said to his advisors, "Didn't we throw 3 men bound into the fire?" "Yes, of course, Your Majesty," they replied to the king. He exclaimed, "Look, I see 4 men, not tied, walking around in the fire, unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods."
And then Eddie closes the Bible, and Jeremy said, "There are 4 of us in this family." And I just marvel at the fact that God gave a 6-year-old eyes to see the Son of God in the fire with us. And that was one of those amazing moments that we just saw God creating this story for us, that He was going to do us good. It's what I just told Jeremy, you know, He's going to use this for good in your life. And here is his faith, being able to see God with us. It was an extraordinary moment that I treasure, that I got to see a glimpse of God meeting my son in the fire, that this would turn his world upside down, and I couldn't control that. And as moms, we want to control that, but I was seeing God, "I'm going to take care of your son, and I'm going to reveal myself to him." Amazing. In this scenario, these men, these young men are doing what's good and right. They're obeying God and putting their lives on the line. And instead of just being thrown into the regular furnace that's going to kill them anyway, Nebuchadnezzar is so angry at their defying his godship for their God that he has that furnace heated 7 times the normal heat. And it has been so often my experience that God does not pave the way with ease. He makes it harder.
I mean, my mom got the 2nd diagnosis, which was terminal. It was definitely harder, but God has been with us each step of the way.
He ups that heat because he's making pure gold. I feel so deeply with Paul when he says, "I'm the chief of sinners." That is what I feel. I am the chief of sinners. And it's taken a lot of fire. And I think some people, maybe they only need it heated 2 times or 3 times. But with my hard heart and thick skull, and I'm slow to learn, like, I need that 7 times hotter furnace. And so God has done that. And at times I throw some punches in my spirit, like, "Why are you making this harder and harder and hotter and hotter?" And it's so that he can reveal himself with me, and so that he can make me look more like him. And that is a slow, painful, messy process. This is not overnight. This is not something that I do well. I experience his presence and become more like him. Jeremy was born a month premature, and then we saw little things early on that were not quite right, and we started seeing specialists, all kinds of pediatricians, and nobody could figure it out for years. Eventually, we figured out it was a periodic fever syndrome, asthma, and then there were other things they were trying to nail down, and then he started growing out of those things, but like juvenile arthritis. There was just a lot of pain and so many things he suffered as a little guy for years. And so every month he would be in my arms with up to 104 fevers, and, you know, just languishing with all kinds of pain and stomach issues. And when Jeremy was at his weakest, that's where I ran to him the fastest. And I just think of that. I was reminding myself of that this last week, just with some condemning thoughts of my brokenness and, "Oh, I'm so tired of the sin." But thinking, like, that's where God rushes to meet me, is my weakness. And it's given me such a picture of his love. And if I love my son this fiercely, this much, how much more does God love me and see me through Jesus? That's just mind-boggling, but it gives me a little glimpse into that. I was single, I want to say maybe 28 years old, if I remember correctly, and I was tired of being single. I was like, peace out, this has been too long. Like, all my friends are like popping out kids, and it was a harder season of singleness. And I remember walking out from work and looking, and the sky was one of the most incredible sunsets I've ever seen, and I've seen some. And it was just layers, and it just covered the entire horizon. It was glory in the sky. So it was radiant, and it took my breath away. God met me. It was one of those times where the divine kind of breaks through in a special way, and you sense God's nearness and his glory palpably. And that was one of those times where God met me and was saying, I am God of creation, and look at the beauty I'm creating. And what I'm doing is not a mistake. I'm with you. I see and I care. And I'm giving you this beautiful moment with me to remind you that I'm with you and I'm doing something good. You could be standing right next to somebody else looking at the same thing, and you are going to experience it in a way that feels like you've just stuck a foot into eternity. And you can't even, you look over and you're like, they're not having the same experience as I am right now, because God breaks through in a very special way for you in that moment. And the veil becomes thin. And you understand that there is another world that is very real. And it's putting our longings into a moment of time. And it makes you realize that there is something there that is sacred and beautiful, and we're only going to get little glimpses and touches of what's coming. But in God's kindness, he lets us sense it for a fleeting moment. And I will say, I've experienced so much more of that through a terminal diagnosis than I ever did before, because I do feel like I have some toes in eternity constantly now. And so the veil feels thinner. That's one of the gifts of this journey. This journey, I would say before cancer, really, it was through chronic illness and singleness. It's always been a fight for where my eyes go, for what I'm looking at. And so it's our gaze. It's what we're fixing our eyes on. And I do not do this well. I am a highly distracted. I can go all the wrong places with my gaze, but in God's kindness and the Spirit's power, he gently, you know, takes my face and turns it back to him. And that constant reorienting the gaze, I found that it's a habit through the day. So it could be putting on a worship song. It could be, sometimes I write a little scripture on my skin just so it's right there in front of me. It could be pulling up a scripture from memory, listening to a really rich, theologically rich book, an audiobook, or stopping and thanking God or worshiping him for his creation. It's redeeming the little moments to shift back. Psalm 27:4, David is literally fleeing from enemies, murderous, villainous people seeking his life. And this is what he says, which is mind-blowing to me. He says, I've asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. Here is David. His life is on the line, and he knows he could die any moment. And what does he say? He's not like, Lord, rest. I mean, he has lots of rescue psalm prayers, right? He prays that a lot. But he also says, I want one thing. It's what I long for. And it's to look at God's beauty, to seek him in his temple and gaze on that beauty. And that is so instructional for me when I feel like my life is on the line, right? Like, life is fragile. It could end any time. What is my longing? Is it for a miracle? Is it for renewed health and a perfect life and comfortable future? here we see in scripture, life is fragile. What do we want? We want one thing, and it's to gaze on God's beauty forever and ever, to dwell in his house. That's our ultimate goal, our ultimate longing. It's not the here and now. If I'm remembering that one day I'm going to be looking at the most beautiful thing that we can't even, I mean, if you think of the most beautiful people you've ever seen or the most beautiful creation or something that just arrested your attention, that is nothing. That is a drop in the bucket compared to what Christ is going to be, the fullness of the Godhead. His beauty will be so compelling. We won't want to look elsewhere. Like, it's just going to, it's going to capture us, and every longing is going to be fulfilled in that gaze. And David gets that, and he says, that's what I want. I want to gaze on that. And that's what I want. I don't do that yet. I don't do that well, but that's what I get to practice now. I get to keep pushing into that and practicing, like, God, help me think of you on your throne and what you look like and the glory that Scripture describes. What are you tempted to fixate on? Is it the unfairness of your situation? Is it the prolonged suffering? Is it watching a loved one suffer when you can do nothing, you can't fix it? Is it the grief, the pain? It is so tempting to just dig into that unfairness, the grief, the pain, and stay there fixated on it. If you too are tempted to fixate on the unfairness, on the heat that's seven times hotter in your furnace, in the grief, in the pain, even in watching your loved one suffer without being able to do a thing about it. Jesus wants to take your face in his hands, cup your chin, and catch your eyes and lift them up to his so that you can see that he is with you in that furnace. He is not wasting one moment of this pain. And he will be faithful to see you through and to make beautiful things. So keep looking at him, sweet friend. I get up out of bed some days because I know this matters, that every day matters. And the temptation for a lot of terminal patients is, I'm gonna be real blunt and open, is suicide. Because the suffering is so great and so, it's been so long and so much physical and emotional suffering. And I have a very tender heart when I hear of people that have made that choice. My heart breaks for them because I know the temptation. But I tell you what, this day matters eternally. And it's extraordinary to get out of bed knowing that God is taking this prolonged suffering and using it to comfort. With the comfort that we receive from him, we get to give it to others. And he's sure given me a lot of comfort. And so I want to give that to others. I don't want to be selfish with it or just hole up in myself, which is, that's a temptation. And sometimes that's what I want to do, is just like hole up and pull my head into the turtle shell and ignore the world. But I can get out of bed knowing that God has ordained good works for me to do beforehand. And this day is, even if it's dishes and laundry, the day matters eternally. I pray generationally. I don't care about numbers or influence. That's whatever. But generationally, if Jeremy could see a mighty God at work in me, and then he passes that on to his children, I pray for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren that this would bear fruit, this suffering, and that it would comfort many in this day who don't know how to get up in the morning. My heart is so tender towards you if you have struggled with wanting the easy way out of your pain, of the prolonged suffering that doesn't seem to end. But what I can testify to is every day is so precious. And God wants to give you so much more than what you can see in this present moment. And this is not the end of the story. This is a passing chapter. And he is good. He is always good. And what he is doing is good. and we will see it one day, and it is worth persevering and going to the end and trusting him through yet another day that feels too much. He is greater still. He is holding you by your hand and guiding you with his counsel, and afterward, he will take you to glory like Psalm 73 promises us.
We've been listening to Colleen Chow remind us of our ultimate hope. When you place your faith in Jesus, you can know that you will spend eternity with him on a new earth with no more pain and no more suffering. Colleen knows she's now near heaven. She tells people the veil is thin. From that vantage point, Colleen has written a book to help all of us long for heaven and kindle the hope we have in Jesus. We'd love to send you Colleen's brand new book. It's called On Our Way Home, Reflections on Heaven in the Face of Death. This would be perfect for anyone who is suffering. It would also be good for anyone who's tempted to think that heaven and eternal life will be boring. It's a powerful book that I know is going to minister greatly to many people, and we'd be glad to send you a copy when you support Revive Our Hearts with a donation of any amount. Just visit reviveourhearts.com. That's where you can make your donation and ask for your copy of Colleen's book, On Our Way Home. While you're there, you can also order a copy of Colleen's other book, In the Hands of a Fiercely Tender God. And if you know someone who's suffering, I hope you'll send them a link to today's program. You can find the audio and the transcript at reviveourhearts.com or on the Revive Our Hearts app. Tomorrow, Colleen will be back to share more stories, offer more insight on suffering, and point us to the joys of heaven. I hope you'll be back. And here's Colleen with a final thought for today.
When I was single in my 20s, I was wrestling to believe that God loved me because he wasn't giving me what I wanted, what I thought he had put on my heart to give me. He was withholding. And so I went to the Word and I looked for promises of his love, and I compiled a list of those promises. I've called it my love list over the years, and I have shared it more times than I can count because these are truths that have held me through every season. And I go back to this again and again to remind myself of these proofs of God's love that are mesmerizing, beautiful, sustaining, eternal. These are just a few of the things that I found, the promises that I cling to and believe to comfort my heart and to convince me that God loves me so much in every way possible beyond my wildest imaginations. And I hope it deeply encourages you too. He satisfies my hunger and quenches my thirst.
He leads me with cords of kindness and ropes of love.
This is Eddie Chow.
He holds my hand.
He will do abundantly more than all I can ask or imagine.
This is Jeremy Chow.
He gives me life, beauty, and dignity.
He carries me close to his heart.
He thinks of me constantly. His thoughts of me outnumber the grains of sand on the sea.
He has engraved me on the palm of his hand.
He daily bears my burdens.
He has planned out my days.
He rejoices over me like a bridegroom rejoices over his bride.
He protects and rescues me.
He intercedes for me.
He delights in me and rejoices over me with singing.
He gives me the power to live like him.
He created me for a special purpose and designed me to be his wonderful creation.
He understands my temptations and weaknesses.
He helps me.
His love for me is as high as the heavens are above the earth.
He teaches me what is best for me.
He will fulfill his purpose for me.
He guides me with his counsel.
He listens to me. He hears my cry.
He keeps record of all my tears.
He satisfies my hunger and quenches my thirst.
He has made me his child.
He listens to me. He hears my cry.
He longs to give me his very best.
He has lavished on me all the riches of his grace.
He directs my step.
He lifts me up and carries me.
He is distressed in my distress.
He chooses to forget my sins. He buries them in the deep sea.
He will give me strength to serve him.
He has given me a home in heaven.
He leads me through the depths and the darkness.
He laid down his life for me.
This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.